I'm Mason Shreen, and on the other line, as always, it's Max Wiener. Welcome back to the Press and Coverage Podcast, everybody. Max, what is good?
You know, not much. It's the start of a five-day weekend for me, sipping on some tequila and hanging out. Great Thursday night here in beautiful Happy Valley. How are you doing, Mason?
I'm doing fantastic. Just chilling out back in Plain O, Texas. What brand of tequila are you drinking, Max?
It is Cavo Aura. It is from Mexico.
Do we have our first podcast sponsor?
That'd be kind of cool, but we just gave them free advertising, so they probably won't pay us now.
Damn, you're right. But it's okay.
You never know. If Whataburger is out there listening, Mason, I would probably do a sponsorship right now.
Yeah, for sure. I would advertise the crap out of Whataburger. So anyways, we're here today to talk about what we believe are the top 15 best video games since the year 2000. And so Max and I made up a list of our own. And best is very difficult to describe. There is some subjectivity involved in this, but we also took commercial and critical success into account, as well as influence in pop culture and influence on future games. And so the way we're going to do this is we're going to each mention our five honorable mentions, and then Max is going to start, and he's going to give his 15, 14, and 13, and then I'll give my 15, 14, and 13, and then so on and so forth. Okay, so Max, start us off.
All right, so my five honorable mentions, I have a list of like 15 honorable mentions that I was just pulling up to my main list, but I'm just going to pick my five favorites. So first off, I'm going to pick Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, probably one of the most influential RPGs of all time, and also probably one of the best Star Wars games of all time. It's just extremely well-rounded. It has one of the most, I would say one of the top 10 twists in a game, in video game history, and it's just an all-around great game that you can just get lost in, and it has such a high replayability value.
Absolutely. And who could ever forget KT, arguably the best robot in all of video games.
True.
So yeah, KOTOR, gotta love KOTOR. Keep going.
So next up, I'm gonna go Super Smash Bros. Melee, just for the good old nostalgia factor. I was a member of Team GameCube back in the day, and I loved me some Melee. I personally think it's hard to decide between that one and Brawl, because that one was also fantastic, but for nostalgia...
Well, they're all fantastic.
Yeah, but for nostalgia's sake, I picked Melee, just because that's the game I played the most, and it was just so much fun. Like, when you had friends over, you had four controllers, you were playing Melee. I'm a Kirby guy. Who was the guy you would always main with?
I was a Fox, a Roy, or a Link guy.
Ooh.
But also, I'd definitely say that Melee's the one that launched that series into the stratosphere. Like, the original Super Smash was great, but it really didn't take off until Melee. Like, and by take off, I mean, like, started selling, like, nobody's business. So, yeah.
So, next up, I'm going to put Dark Souls.
Okay. The most punishing game of all time?
Yes,
it's not named Battletoads?
Oh, man, Battletoads, so much. Ugh. We're going to GameStop having that brought up so many times. Oh, man.
Hey, Max.
Public service announcement. Do not call your local GameStop and ask them if you have Battletoads for the health of every single employee out there.
Hey, Max, do you guys sell Battletoads for Wii?
Mason, I'm going to fly to Plano and kick your fucking ass. But yeah, Dark Souls, my one experience with Dark Souls, I went over to my friend's house. He's like, yo, you got to play this game. And he gave me the very start of it, and I'm like, I died at least five times at the first enemy, and I'm like, what is this game? I personally, for my health, I don't think I could get through it.
Yeah, and Max, actually, I have a question for you. I have a very serious question for you.
Sure.
Are you bad at video games?
Am I bad at video games? I would say I'm average at best.
Okay.
I'm definitely, I'm nothing special.
Oh, don't say special.
But I have fun, and that's what's always important. At least that's what my mom tells me.
Oh.
So, next up on the list, I'm going to go out with StarCraft 2, just because the original StarCraft was so influential for competitive gaming, and then to bring about StarCraft 2, which really brought that franchise into the modern era, it's honestly one of the best real-time strategy games that I personally experienced, and I think that people would agree it's one of the best of all time. It's such a fun game, and it really brought competitive gaming into the forefront of culture. Then next up, I'm gonna go with Left 4 Dead 2.
Really?
Just okay. Extremely fun co-op experience. I think it
might be the best co-op first-person shooter ever. And there's zombies in it.
I agree. I think that it really, it just is such a unique game that you pretty much, you have to be in the same room with the people that you're playing with. It's so important for the cooperation between teammates, and it's just such a game anyone can pick up and have fun with. And rest in peace, Valve, but that's one of their best titles.
What do you mean, rest in peace, Valve? They're, like, counting their money from Steam.
Yeah, but when's the last time they published something, Mason?
That's true. Half-Life 3... Oh.
Too soon? Yeah, all right, guys, it's been, like, 5 minutes, and we already made a Half-Life 3 joke, so... We should put a counter in, you know? Oh, man, and the last one... Oh, this is hard. There's, like, 3 games I'm looking at right now that I could put any one of them. But I'm gonna go with... different genre here. I'm gonna go with Dead Space.
Okay.
So, I put this out there. I do not like horror games. I am easily scared. I just doesn't go with me. But Dead Space was like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Like, it hurts, but you just can't put it down. It's just so dang good. Just the atmosphere is gripping and terrifying. And personally, I can only play it between the hours of 12 and 3 with the windows open, but I think it was just a fantastic horror survival game.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my 5 honorable mentions. So.
And let's not forget that game's just level design is fantastic, just how tight the corridors are, how you have to just, you know, anxiously turn around for every corner, and you have to use weapons in a smart way to really make it through that game. So yeah, props to Dead Space.
But also just a couple more games just to rattle them off. I'm not going to talk about them, just games that I thought about. Bad Company 2, Walking Dead, Heavy Rain, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Guitar Hero! So yeah, those are my 5 and a few extra sprinkled in. So Mason, what are yours?
Okay, alright, so let's start off with my honorable mentions. I want to give a shout out to Far Cry 3, which is one of the just prettiest environments I've ever gotten to play in, and it is like one of the craziest games. It's one of the, it wasn't the first game to do it, but it was around the start of when games were really just giving you, at least on 360, were giving you the freedom to go around and do whatever you want, tackle situations however, and I remember just going through Far Cry 3 and just like letting tigers out of cages and having a crocodile come out of like the river and attack the outposts. Like, one of the moments in video games that I'll never forget is I was just trying to clear an outpost and I got spotted and I tried to dive into the lake and I dove right on top of a crocodile and it started biting me and I audibly screamed in because I didn't see it coming and I was just freaking out, but I was laughing at the end of it. And just, that's one of the most fun games, just pure adrenaline fun I've ever played.
And don't forget one of the best
villains, enemies, of course, villains. Voss. Yeah. And that's such a great performance by the name of the voice actor is slipping me, but his performance for the advertising was so good that they ended up actually putting him in the game. Or no, I'm sorry, it was the other way around. His performance in the game was so good that they put him in the live-action advertisement, so gotta love me some Voss. Next, Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime's arguably the best game in the Metroid series, and just the way that it took that series to 3D is just awesome. Like, it is... There are so many different elements in that game. There are some suspenseful moments. The bosses are a lot of fun. It's very satisfying every time you upgrade your suit. And I can't really say enough good things about that game. And honestly, it should be higher. It probably will be higher when I revisit this list. But moving on. Shadow of the Colossus. What a game. What a gorgeous, grand, epic game that, you know, I think a lot of PlayStation 2 just purists played. And that ending, though. That ending, though. I don't want to spoil anything, but... Yeah, that game just the sheer scope of that and just how small you are compared to the Colossi is just like another thing I'll never forget. Another game, Uncharted 2, arguably the most cinematic game of the past generation. That game it does not stop. It is so much fun. I think it might be, if I weren't about to mention this next game, my honorable mention, it might be the best sequel, just pure sequel of all time. So yeah, the writing in that game is perfect. It's so satisfying. The ending is great. The whole game is great. It never drags. It has the train sequence is arguably one of the best sequences in gaming history. And the graphics at the time were gorgeous. You can always count on Naughty Dog to deliver a phenomenal cinematic gaming experience. And so this my final honorable mention, Assassin's Creed 2. I believe that this is the best sequel of all time. And by that I mean I think it is a perfect sequel. Now I don't think it is a perfect game. I think that it takes everything that works for the first game and improves it, and but still change the formula a little bit. And so you don't have the repetitiveness of the first game, but you have so many new elements, a little bit of customization, new weapons, improved combat, two hidden blades. And that game and storytelling is so much fun. That ending is also fantastic. And, of course, Ezio is one of the best video game characters ever. So thank you, Ubisoft, for that. So now, Max, let's jump right in. What is your number 15?
All right. So to start off my list, number 15 is what I think might be the best turn-based strategy game of all time, Civilization V.
Civ! Oh my gosh.
So, little pre to Civilization V, when I was like 12, when Civ 4 was all the rage still, I got an Amazon gift card for my birthday, and I'm like, I freaking want Civ 4. So I got Civ 4 and played the shit out of it, and it was so much fun. Civ 5 came out, it improved everything about Civ 4 and made it even better, but didn't hurt what was already working with the game. It really did. If it wasn't broke, don't fix it, and they did a really good job of that. Amazing. It is the gold standard for turn-based strategy. I'm really freaking bad at it. I played one of my friends here at school. We're the only two people who stayed up at school for Easter weekend. So we just locked ourselves in and played Civ 5, and he kicked the crap out of me. But yeah, great game. I really enjoy strategy games, and Civ 5 is definitely one of the best. So next up on my list at number 14, I'm going to put one of the best indie games of all time, Bastion.
Ooh. So
beautiful. First off, just gorgeous game. In the past 5 years, I would say 5 to 7 years, indie games have just taken off. The best indie games now are held at the same standard as some of the best AAA titles, and I think Bastion is one of the best examples. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous game. Fun, simple gameplay, and the narrator is probably the best part of the game. It's so unique. I love that part of the game. It's so much fun.
It's got arguably the best one of the best time travel gameplay mechanics in all of gaming.
True. So yeah, and then so next up on my list at 13, another indie title. I guess now it could be considered AAA, but I'm gonna put Minecraft.
Wow.
So I.
How is it that low?
I had a really hard time placing Minecraft because its influence is unparalleled. It really did bring indie gaming to the forefront. But I think what they're doing with it now, I know once they kind of, I don't remember when they did it, but when they put in an actual story mode, I feel like they've kind of taken away what originally made Minecraft, what it was so special to special in the first place. I think the original experience is unparalleled, though.
Well, but what is so wrong about adding a new element to the game that doesn't really change the original game?
It just seemed kind of... It wasn't bad, but it was... I feel like the whole point of Minecraft was that you can make your own story.
Well, yeah, but wasn't that still there after they even added that story?
It was, but it... But I just felt like it wasn't the direction I saw Minecraft going.
Look, Max, all I'm saying is Joe Flacco is not an elite quarterback, okay? Is that too much? Is that too much to argue with?
That's a conversation for another day, Mason, because I respectfully disagree.
You think Joe Flacco's an elite quarterback?
He has a ring.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe I'm messing with you, Mason. Maybe it's Maybelline. You'll never know.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Okay, all right. So allow me to jump in at number 15. I kind of cheated. I have two at number 15. I'm sorry. Crucify me.
Mason, one plus one is two.
Yes, I know. So at 15, I have Journey, and NCAA 14. Oh. Journey is one of the few games that have made me emotional. And what's so special about Journey is that it is a single player game, but you can see almost every other person that is playing that same game on where they are in their journey. And the farther you go, there's a certain element of your character that you have a scarf, and the farther you go in the game, it gets longer and longer, and it's a very cool element. And it's a gorgeous, beautiful game. And I want to say it was made by Sony Santa Monica, and the same people that made God of War, coincidentally. And it is a very peaceful and just gorgeous, beautiful game. But that ending moved me in ways I hadn't been moved before. I'm being a little bit overdramatic, but no, that ending is very, very emotional. And because of the title is so perfect, because of the journey you go on and where you are at in your journey and where you see everyone else is on their journey is so special. And it uses multiplayer in a way that I don't think it had ever been used before. And also, that game's only like 4 hours, and it does all this in just such a short amount of time. And so the tie with this is NCAA 14. I couldn't not have a sports game. Oh my god! On here.
Why did I forgot about that game?
Yeah, that is the other than maybe FIFA or Rocket League. NCAA is the quintessential college dorm game. I have played so much NCAA. I have ran the quarterback option with Johnny Manziel so many times and just stiff-armed through so many scrubs. It's hilarious. Fun fact, Michigan is the hardest team to beat in that game. It is rigged. And just, like, I was going to put a Madden game on there originally, but NCAA games, in my mind, are more fun because they are more video gamey. Like, yes, more realistic is fun, but, like, I feel like NCAA is a nice in-between between being a video game and being real life. Like, Madden, I feel like, is closer to real life. But, like, I love scrambling back 10 yards and throwing off my back foot for a 30-yard touchdown, which is just ridiculous. So NCAA is a ton of fun. Nothing but high praise for that. And especially because you get the college drums. Like, you get, like, the drums, the chants that are in the all on the game. And, of course, you get Kirk Herbstreit announced in the game. It's so much fun.
Dynasty is one of my favorite game modes of all time. I still play a Dynasty to this day where I've led Penn State to, like, 5 straight national championships. And it's just, it warms my soul.
Yep. I finally got that achievement to get South Alabama a national championship just for the trophy. Number 14, in my opinion, the best superhero game of all time, Batman Arkham City. Arkham Asylum is probably a bit more influential just because of the combat. The combat in that game was revolutionary. Just you string together combos, but also countering at the same time, and it's just one big, fluid, fun thing. But also, you're freaking Batman. And so, Arkham City, and you bring back some of the voices from the Batman the Animated Series, which a lot of us have nostalgic connections to. Kevin Conroy, in my opinion, is still the best Batman of all time. And this was Mark Hamill's last appearance as the Joker till the Killing Joke, but he said that he wanted Arkham City to be his last appearance as the Joker. And so, spoiler alert, the Joker dies at the end. And I was like, holy crap, these are like two characters that I've known for like my entire life. And that's not even talking about the gameplay. The gameplay is phenomenal. You get the great open world of Arkham City, and it's just set in the new Arkham universe, and it's a lot of fun. Hugo Strange is a great villain. You get some great plot twists. You get the great classic interaction between Batman and the Joker. And it really does improve on everything Arkham Asylum did that was fantastic. So love me some Batman, love me some Arkham City. And number 13... this game is in my top 5 favorite games of all time. Mass Effect 2.
Okay, this now game, I get to be... Wow.
Yeah, it could be higher, but then I look at everything above it, and I think at best case scenario, I can maybe move it up to 10, but I don't even know about that. Mass Effect 2, I have played through the game 12 times. I have 100%ed it. I have gotten every achievement. I have gotten the perfect ending, the best ending. I have played through that trilogy so many times. It is the best trilogy, sorry, Gears of War, it is the best trilogy on the Xbox 360 generation, and the cast of characters in that game is second to none. There, you go around recruiting all these interesting characters, and you have to, you know, you grow the relationship with each one of them in a different, unique way. Obviously, there's all the fun romancing, there's the great action, the final mission, which is maybe the best final mission in any game ever, and the music for the final mission, the end of the final mission, is probably my favorite song in a video game original song in a video game that isn't Lost Woods in Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Wow.
Mass Effect 2, while it is not higher up here, it is... Alright, I'm going to say it. This is, I'm going to say this about 11 more times. It is a perfect game. That game is perfect. Other than some glitches, some loading glitches, that game is perfect. The voice acting is second to none. The story is amazing. I love that game. The game is perfect. My name is Mason Shreen. This is my favorite shop on the Citadel.
Mason, is the reason it's so low is because Miranda turned you down?
No, actually, I romanced the crap out of her, and that's the closest I'll ever get to dating Yvonne Starhosky.
You never know, Mason. You never know.
Yeah, you know, you gotta shoot your shot.
You 100% of the time, every time.
Yes.
So, now I'm gonna do an 12, 11, 10. So, number 12, a game that Mason had a little bit farther down, but I have at this position because of things he said. So, Assassin's Creed 2, I'm kind of echoing what Mason said already, but I think Assassin's Creed 1 was one of the first of its kind. It's in a game that really focused on assassins, which really hadn't been done in gaming before.
Yeah, and something that I failed to mention, sorry to jump in, but you could argue that it is one of the defining games of the last generation. Just the original Assassin's Creed, because of how many games have taken from that. Just taken, like, the counter system, the climbing, the vantage points. Sorry, anyways, continue.
Yeah, with that too, but so there was a lot of things wrong with the first game. I'm sure Mason would agree with me that that's why it is not on this list. Two took all the amazing things on the first game and fixed all the things that were wrong with it. I don't think it's nowhere near a perfect game, but I think what it brought to the gaming world is so unique, and I had an amazing experience with it. I did not like the first game. I picked up the second one, had an amazing time. Ezio was an amazing character, and the ending is unique, let's put it that way.
My jaw dropped at that ending. And also, just the development that Ezio takes through the entire journey of Assassin's Creed 2. And also, we didn't even talk about how gorgeous and how almost accurate a representation of Renaissance Italy that game is. I went to Italy this past summer, and I recognized... I mean, I hate to shout out to my geeky gamer knowledge, but I recognized so much stuff and knew so much about Italy because I read a lot of the info and the data entries in Assassin's Creed 2. So, that game, to me, was not just fun, but also educational. Boom, video games can also work to educate your children.
Get learned.
Yeah. Even if we are fighting the Pope. But yeah, I love Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, it's hats off to them. It was a great game. Next up on the list is another extremely influential title. One I don't think anyone saw coming at the time, Red Dead Redemption. So honestly, I can't think of another game like Red Dead. It's
the best Western game of all time?
I 100% agree. It is... Grand Theft Auto in the Wild Wild West, it takes all the amazing sandbox elements of Grand Theft Auto, drops you right into the desert, into the 1800s, and it is just gorgeous. The story is fantastic, and the ending is gripping, and maybe... I was screaming at the television. Imagine the game, because it was just so polarizing. But it's just a fun environment, and I definitely would like to see a Western setting explored more in video games.
Yeah, and Red Dead Redemption is on my list, and I'll talk about it in a little bit, but I just do want to say that I honestly don't know if anyone makes a game better than Rockstar. I think that the top two development teams are Rockstar Santa Monica and the Legend of Zelda team. Like, those two teams know how to make games unlike anyone else. So, but I'll talk more about Red Dead in a little bit for me.
Yep, and then so slotting in at number 10 on my list, which you could argue this is the most influential Call of Duty game of all time, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. So before this,
No fighting in the war room.
Still no, I'm sorry. That was the wrong quote. The correct quote is veterans don't shoot. No, sorry. That was the wrong quote. The correct quote is veterans only go for the head.
Yes.
I legitimately punted my controller when I finally got to the end of that mission in on veteran, and I shot the foot, and it gave me that screen. I quit. I quit life.
Oh man.
Yeah, trust the process.
It's veteran is impossible in that game. But Call of Duty 4. So before this game, Call of Duty's the three of them. Also, Call of Duty 2. Love that game. Big Red 1. Huge shout out. Tons of memories of my childhood with that game. But COD 4. So all the Call of Duty games before this were set in World War 2. At this point in time, there is starting to get this sort of oversaturation of World War 2 games. So the Infinity Ward team, right?
R.I.P.
The Infinity Ward team decided to go in a new direction and take Call of Duty into the modern era. Huge shift in gaming. I would say that the campaign is, it's hard to sign between that one and Modern Warfare 2. Both are amazing campaigns, but I think the twist in the first Call of Duty is just out of the blue.
And there's still no level like Gilly's in the Mist. All Gillied Up.
No, that's just the groundbreaking mechanics that were put into that game are on its own in terms of first person shooters, campaigns, and multiplayer. Yeah. I didn't even mention their multiplayer mode, yep, which revolutionized multiplayer. The class system, kill streaks, customization, you name it. Call of Duty 4 was the trendsetter for those aspects in modern multiplayer gaming.
Yeah. I sadly do not have this on my list. I just felt like I had too many first-person shooters, and I feel incredibly guilty that it's not on here. But just like COD is such a, like, that was really when COD became a real significant part of pop culture. Just like with Noob Tubes, Jugger Noob, just so many just jokes about COD. I know, I went back and I checked the other day. I logged 24 hours of multiplayer gameplay. No, I'm sorry, 24 days of multiplayer gameplay in the original Call of Duty.
I was about to say, 4. That's it, you scrub?
Yeah, say no. 24 days. Like, goodness gracious. 10th prestige. What up? Did not get gold every gun. I'm sorry, I'm not that. I didn't have that much time. I couldn't get the headshots to the shotgun. That was the worst part. But that game has a special place in my middle school heart, for sure.
Yeah, I it's my personal favorite Call of Duty. I think other than the zombie mode with Call of Duty 5, I definitely think that COD 4 is the pinnacle of the franchise.
Well, when you say COD 5, you mean World of War?
Yeah, which it's
or Black COD Ops 5, or Black Ops 2. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is COD 5, but it was made by Treyarch, and that's kind of when Treyarch kind of, like, I don't think Treyarch really got their sea legs until Black Ops.
Apples and oranges, Mason. Apples,
yeah, okay, and oranges. Anyways, moving on. So I believe it is my turn now.
It is.
Gonna go at number 12. Number 12, I have Metal Gear Solid 3. That game made the world rethink what a stealth espionage game could be. And also, I couldn't leave my man Hideo Kojima off of this list. He is one of the coolest people in gaming. He might be the biggest person in gaming, besides the godfather, Shigeru Miyamoto, who is, every time he's just like, I see him on in a video, he just makes me smile, because he's just such an awesome, kind dude. Love him. But Metal Gear Solid, just 3, Snake Eater. The story, all the characters, just the outside-the-box thinking that you have to do in that game, and how that game challenges you. And it takes you back to the past, when everyone thought that it was just going to continue to go in the future, like the first two entries were. Gotta love Naked Snake. Also, the boss, and then Big Boss, just one of the greatest characters of all time. The ending, I feel like we've said like this for almost every game, but the ending, oh man, the ending.
The ending is paramount, though. I feel like that it, case study, Mass Effect 3.
I think we might have different opinions on that, because I think when it comes to, especially an RPG, the ending, while yes, it can be underwhelming, doesn't always take away from the 40-hour grind that you've put in and the fun of the actual gameplay. Because, like, I don't mind the Mass Effect 3 ending. I just thought it was underwhelming. But
I don't mind it either, but I think that the ending it's the goal you're working towards. It should be satisfying.
I agree. It should be satisfying. Especially when it has been advertised for, you know, three games in that trilogy. Anyways, back to Metal Gear Solid 3. Just again, the characters, the bosses, how much fun that game is also, just, you know, also just putting on your box is just hilarious. I was tempted to put Metal Gear Solid 5 because I think it might have surpassed 3 as the best in the series. But the ending, the ending of that game isn't finished. Like, the story kind of just cuts off. So that's why I've kept 3 there. And moving on to 11, another great open world game, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. That is right. This is the newest game that is on this list. This is the youngest game on this list. That game is one of the most addicting things I've ever played. And it is, the fact that it is on the Switch and you can take it up and go anywhere is fantastic. That is perfect. Like, that game, no game ever, at least that I've played, but I truly believe that no game respects player intelligence like Breath of the Wild does. Wow. And, like, you can do literally anything. You can literally do anything in that game.
Anything is possible.
Yes, Kevin Garnett, anything is possible if you just choose to believe. And, like, from the get-go, you can just go do what you want. You don't have to even do the story, unlike kind of past Zelda games. And it's not just, like, open air, small areas like previous Zeldas. It is one huge area. While, yes, there are shrines that do have loading screens, but, like, that game is gorgeous, too. It is so much fun. There's so much to do. There's so many interesting quests to do. And, like, honestly, I rarely say this, but the main story isn't even the best part of that game.
Oof.
It is the world and just being able to do so much and just literally you have just the wild to do whatever you want. And it is so much fun. It's probably going to go up on my list later because of just – I think that it's going to be so influential on games because of how groundbreaking that just open world and literally just ability to do anything and solve so many problems ever. Like, there was in my first hour of playing that game. So I don't own it, but I have played a good chunk of it and I've heard enough about it to respect it. When I first started playing this game, I chopped down a tree and it rolled down a hill and it went into a lake and it started floating in the lake. And so I tried to swim to the island in the middle of the lake and I couldn't get there because, you know, you have a stamina bar, and I was able to climb on the log of the tree and get my stamina back because of what just happened earlier. And, like, I talked to my friend later, and he said, yeah, something like that. I tried to get to that place also, but I ended up using the flying leaf to get there. I was like, oh, so it's just so cool that, like, everyone can solve things in different ways. And it's just, I can't say, literally, that game is so addicting. The game is so, so, so addicting. But, yeah, so that is my Legend of Zelda entry on this list. And so now moving on to my favorite game of middle school. Well, I might take that back. So now moving on to one of my favorite games of all time, the one, the only, Master Chief's Halo 3. I think it is still the best entry in the franchise. Hold up. Halo 2's multiplayer was very influential, but two words for Halo 3. Custom games.
Oof.
Yes, Halo 2, they had the idea of you get in the lobby with all your friends, and so you don't have to, like, exit out and go back and forth between every match, but so many hours were put into Forge and custom games in Halo 3, and it is so much fun. It is arguably where Machinima started as well, with their theater mode. I can't understate that. And the campaign is so epic in that. I think it has the best level in any Halo campaign. I think it is tied with Assault in the Control Room from the original Halo, but I believe it's the 7th level called the Covenant. It is one of the most complete fun levels in any Halo game ever. Like I said, the campaign is epic. You get a great, great cathartic ending. Wake me when you need me, just to complete the circle. But man, that multiplayer is so much fun. I have played so much Valhalla and Sandbox. Gosh, just Halo 3 is a special game. Like, that was, I think that is really when gaming started, like, marketing for games really took off. That had one of the greatest marketing. I think it's one of the greatest marketing campaigns of the 21st century as well. Mm-hmm. Just finishing the fight after the Halo 2 ending, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, man, Halo 3 is special, and I don't think there's been a game that has really captivated the world since, unlike that game has.
So Halo 3 was actually my introduction to the Halo franchise. I did not own the original Xbox. I owned the 360, and I got Halo 3 and then went back and played the first two. So it does also hold a special place in my heart with the multiplayer experience and the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, like, gotta love Arby and the Chief, man. Gotta love Arby and the Chief.
Great.
But yeah, I
mean, you can't even. We could have a whole other pod on the influence of the machinima on gaming culture, but that's for another day.
Yeah, I mean, just all the memes from Halo as well, like Halo 3, again, like just Forge.
Raycons, like, please.
I'll never forget the Taco Bell will mess you up meme from Halo 3, but just how much fun that game was, and just staying up with your friends, like. I was tempted to put the original Halo on here as well, just because of the co-op. The co-op in that game is perfect, and the Halo 3 co-op is on par with that. And I love it. I love that game. Like, that's all I can say is I love that game.
All right, so number 9 for me, my Legend of Zelda entry is
Wind Waker. Oh snap! It was my very first Zelda game.
It was mine as well. So that was the difficulty with me. I do think. I've not gotten the chance to play Breath of the Wild, but I've heard amazing things, and with the expansion that they're coming out with it soon, I'm sure that's going to add to the awesome experience. But I feel like for the 21st century, Wind Waker is probably the game for the Nintendo GameCube, in my personal opinion. It is.
That's okay.
I think that it was one of the biggest games for that console, yet you can say Melee.
I was going to say, I think the game is Melee, but maybe not the best. But the best
RPG story-driven game.
I'd say probably I don't know if Okami was on GameCube. I don't think it was. But I would say the most stylistically interesting would definitely for sure be Wind Waker.
It's just, yeah, one, the graphics for the game is just so unique. It's a very cartoony feel to the Zelda franchise.
The cool cel-shaded.
But it works. It works for Zelda. It's not as gritty as other games, but it's fun. It goes back to its core, and it was just a really great installment of the franchise. And I think that I can't think of anything wrong with it, so that's why I put it as my entry.
It has my favorite soundtrack of a Zelda game, other than Ocarina of Time.
The Zelda soundtracks are unparalleled. They fit the setting and the experience so perfectly, and it just adds to the whole package of Zelda.
Yeah. So,
next up for me at number 8, a game that I, for a little bit, I actually toyed with putting at the top of my list, but I decided to settle for it here. Number 8, I have Mass Effect 2.
Oof.
So, Mason had it a little earlier on the list, something that I disagreed with. I think...
Hey, it's in my top 5 favorite games of all time, man, but...
I know.
This list is tough.
It was. So, little story on Mass Effect. The original one I picked up, I played 10 minutes of it. I didn't like it. Put it away, put it on my shelf for a year and a half. Picked it back up, tried it again. I'm like, hey, people have told me I have to play this. Got through it. Was astounded with how amazing it was. I fell in love. Played the second one.
Combat does not hold up for the first one.
No, and the driving scenes are the worst.
Oh my gosh, you're a drunk rhinoceros.
It's so bad. But other than that, it's groundbreaking. Mass Effect 2 only improves, and they take out the stupid driving scenes. But the characters. Like I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say just for Mass Effect 1, it had to establish the world and like. It did a phenomenal job doing that, and Mass Effect 2 really enriched that. Anyways, continue.
So, like Mace was saying earlier, the characters really drive this story, and you have an emotional attachment to these characters. And maybe spoiler, but in the different points of the game, some of the characters can die, and you lose them forever for the rest of the playthrough. And also in the final mission, you can make decisions that cause some of your crew members to die. And when I would lose somebody...
Unless you get the perfect ending.
Which I was never able to do because I'm not Mason. But it was actually an emotional toll on me to lose these characters because they're people who you did their personal quests with them and you really got to know them throughout the story. And I think that that is what makes this game so special, is that you do create that bond with those characters. And on top of that, like Mason was saying, the final level of that game is honestly one of the best final levels in video gaming history. And then on top of that, my favorite part is that you can fail. You get 100%. Yeah. If you don't do the rest of the game right, you lose. And the game is not, it's not forgiving.
Yeah,
it doesn't. And I think that's the best part about it. Honestly, if Mass Effect ended at 2, I think everyone would have been happy with how that game ended. I think Mass Effect 3 is fun.
Well, I think, like, yes, the final mission was great, but that game leaves on a pretty big cliffhanger.
I agree, but it's, I think with what it gave out, it would have been okay if it didn't continue. But Mass Effect 3, that's for a whole other day.
Yeah, I will say this, though. Mass Effect 3, I think, is the second best game in the franchise. It might even be the best. I mean, like, the combat in that game, it's not as much an RPG anymore as it is, like, an action game. I will say that, but that's fine with me, honestly, because we got another excuse to jump in that world with those characters. It's like, I don't know. I didn't have that much of a problem with it. But, yeah, like you said, another conversation for another day. But, yeah, Mass Effect 2, one of the best RPGs of all time. It might be probably the 7th or 8th best RPG of all time.
So, and then next up on my list is my Halo entry. We're kind of going games at the same time. So I'm going to pick Halo 2.
Okay.
Halo 3 was my introduction, but when I stepped back and looked at the story, which I feel for this list is more paramount than the multiplayer experience, I felt like the Halo 2 story was more influential on me.
Okay.
And as an overall package, one, just how that game starts is just so crazy.
Well, just the action is just cranked up to another level. But let me ask you, if story is the most important, if you think is more important, then how come you didn't put number one, which is solely focused on single player, really?
True, but that does establish it, but I liked what was delivered in the second game
better. Okay.
Just personal preference.
You got a shift, definitely a stronger shift towards just, like, more action, which, yeah, I agree with.
And then, like, Mason and I were talking about earlier how the second game, didn't you say they had to rewrite it in a year?
Yeah, so it is one of the most interesting dev stories ever. So about a year before release, they had to cut, Bungie had to cut a ton out of the main campaign because it would not work on the Xbox. I forgot what game it was, but they showed a demo from the second game, and that level is not in the game. It's not in the released copy of Halo 2. And so they had to go back and just kind of scramble and put together a campaign with a year left. And, like, the long nights that they worked, and it is such a fascinating story how everything came together to make that campaign. Although I will say, the ending of that campaign is arguably the most frustrating one in history, because it literally just says, "Sir, finishing this fight," and you're ready, you're pumped up, and then it cuts to black, and you're like, "God dang it." And there are so many great YouTube videos of guys throwing controllers through their TVs because of that damn cliffhanger. But
it's a great cliffhanger, though.
But I will say this. It might have the best soundtrack of any of the Halo games.
I agree.
The iconic guitar riff in the new Mombasa level is amazing. Marty O'Donnell outdid himself. There's also a lot of hidden celebrities that worked on that soundtrack. Fun fact for you, Maroon 5, they recorded some of the riffs in there. Also, I think you can hear Adam Levine's voice at some point as one of the vocalists.
Wow.
And John Mayer even played some strings. It is again, like, just the development alone is incredibly interesting for that game. And I believe there's a video documentary on it somewhere out there. I'll try to think of the name of it later in this podcast.
But just another thing I wanted to add, so it was tough for me, especially with the Halo games, is that since I came on at 360, I couldn't really dive into the multiplayer of the first two games. The first game, the only multiplayer experience I had was with the computer demo I downloaded, and I played the crap out of that, which was so much fun, but other than that, that's the only experience I had with it. And the second one, I have zero multiplayer experience with it just because I didn't have the original Xbox, so there was no way for me to play it.
Yeah.
But I just, my opinion, I think it was the best cinematic experience of the franchise.
Okay. I disagree with that just because I still think Halo 3 is just so epic. Like, it literally cranks everything up to the highest level. Okay, I think the, I believe the video is just, if you go onto YouTube and type in behind the scenes making of Halo 2, it is posted on Bungie's official YouTube page. So if you just go there, you'll see it and you'll hear kind of the story. It's definitely one of my favorite video game stories, like just like industry stories to look at. So for sure, check that out if you would like to, just to kind of see what it's like to really be a dev. Cool. So is it my turn now?
Yep.
All right, cool. So at my mighty number nine, RIP mighty number nine, at my number nine is Minecraft. That game is, Mike's kind of touched on it already. It is incredibly influential, and it was so out of left field. And it was Microsoft bought Mojang for, I forgot how much, but it was a crap load of money. So now Microsoft owns that studio. That game is such a, is ever since it got big, it has not left the top 10 game sales of all, like, ever. Like, every month, I forgot the who puts it out, but every month they put out the top 10 selling games. Minecraft and GTA 5 are always in there. I'm pretty certain on that. So again, Minecraft, it is huge. You have so many people creating so many cool things. It is a game that has been evolving, but also it hasn't changed the core of it, which just keeps that game so special. And people are still finding new and new things about it till today, and it's amazing. That game is just made for people who love to create and people who just love to spend time with their friends in there. And there are so many fun community-created things in there, and that it is something that has not been done before. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised that if the value of that company just increases to $1 billion. So shout out to Minecraft. At number eight now, my second favorite game of all time, Fallout 3. No game on this list. Okay, maybe there's maybe one other game on this list that I could argue more. Actually, no. No game on this list has taken more hours of my life than this game. There is no game like Fallout 3 that I have sunk more time, and if it has probably cost me some GPA average, I'll be honest. I think I had 1,000 saves in that game. I saved the game 1,000 times because that's how much I played it. The Capital Wasteland is one of the most interesting RPG worlds since Azeroth. Shout out to the World of Warcraft. And just the guns, the characters, the quests, the mechanics, VATS. I cannot say enough good things about this game. This is arguably the greatest Western-made RPG of all time. Skyrim may have taken its place, but I still have a love for Fallout 3. And just the memorable thing you do in that game, it is, I don't know, that game means so much to me just because of how fun it was. I didn't like it at first. And then I actually got good at it. Like, I didn't know how to play it, and then I actually got good at it. And, oh my gosh, I love that game. Also, Liam Neeson is your dad. Shout out to Liam Neeson. I'll never forget when you first leave the vault and you're blinded, and you get to see a look at the Capital Wasteland. But also, I already said this kind of, but that area is so fascinating to me. Like, I think it is a perfect place for a post-apocalyptic game like Fallout. Like, you have the tension with China and communism that like the old world did, at least. You have so many interesting like things about like the history of the world, at least in that universe, in all the cool things in DC. All of like the pseudo dungeons are so cool. Creatures like Deathclaws are still one of the scariest things in video games to me just because they're so fast. And I remember playing, I used to have the Turtle Beach headset that would block out all the sound, and I would like jump at the sound of like the footsteps because I would recognize their footsteps. You know, that the main quest line is so much fun. The side quests are arguably better. Like, that's how good the game is, because just how the characters are so interesting, the locale is so interesting. I could legitimately play that game until the end of time and I would not get bored of it. And I think that is, like, just like that with Breath of the Wild, I think that is the sign of a game that will stand the test of time. Max, what are your thoughts on Fallout 3? I know you love it, too.
I love it. So, my first playthrough of Fallout 3, I don't know, for some reason, video games, I like to play a more evil playthrough just because it's...
That's so funny, because I love to be, like, the stand-up citizen.
Oh, yeah. Like, the first time I played Fallout 3, I blew up Megaton, and everyone's like, why did you blow up Megaton? But it's, like you said, it's just, there's so much to do, and then the DLCs, it's probably...
I didn't even speak about the DLCs, dadgum.
Yeah, it's the epitome of what DLCs are. It should add to the gameplay of the game, and that's all that it does. Just
yeah,
so...
Anchorage, The Pit, Broken Steel... Point Lookout, Mothership Zeta. I still remember all of them to a T. Beat all of them. I don't think you can't 100% Fallout, but I did every quest. I got every achievement, and I looked for like a ton of the unmarked quests. I've spent so much time on the Fallout's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, same.
But like again, like that game is so much fun, and it revitalized the series, and it revolutionized gaming and Western RPGs. Drop the mic. So, yeah, that's again like Fallout 3. That's probably the longest I'm gonna ever speak about a game that's not named Jack 3, just because Fallout 3 is my second favorite game of all time and it means so much to me. And so, number 7 for me, Red Dead Redemption. Max a little touched on this already, but again, nobody makes a game like Rockstar. Nobody makes an open world game like Rockstar. Just the way that they craft their characters is awesome. And, like, I haven't even gotten into the gameplay. Like, the gameplay is tight and phenomenal. And there's so much to do in that game. And everything is so satisfying and pretty. And everything just works all, like, perfectly. The tone is awesome. The characters are awesome. The writing is perfect. And the ending is tragic, but also fitting. And, man, it really is a story of redemption. But there are also so many... complex themes that are in that game that you wouldn't think would be in just a cowboys game about cowboys, but it's about kind of times changing and how people treat one another and how people really never forget. And so again, like, the character of Dutch is one of my favorite characters ever. Obviously John Marston is the best cowboy character of all time, either him or Landon Ricketts, who's also in the game. But again, like, that's just three characters that I just named off the top of my head because I remember how memorable they are. And like I said, this is the best cowboy Western game of all time. And the multiplayer is so much fun. Just running around the Old West with your buddies is so much fun. And that game is awesome. I can't not mention the soundtrack in that game. That soundtrack is also perfect. It's like its soundtrack is very similar to that of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is also perfect for a Western movie.
So game number 6 for me, game we just talked about, so I'm just going to talk very briefly. Fallout 3 at number 6 for me. What I'm gonna mention?
What a good game!
What I'm gonna mention about it is I remember watching E3 that year when they announced Fallout 3 and they were doing. I remember that they had this with Todd Howard. They just had this short little.
The Todd Father?
Yes, they had this little side interview about it where they just showed gameplay of the game and they were just walking around with the mini nuke launcher.
Fat Man.
Yeah, the Fat Man. I was gonna say Fat Boy, but Fat Man. And they were shooting it, and it was the first time I'd seen a game like this, and it was just so fascinating to me watching it. It was just so revolutionary for its time.
Yep.
And they did everything right. With a lot of games you see now, they show you these trailers and they show you these demos, and the game's completely different. And when I was watching the demos for it, Fallout 3 was what it was promised to be, and it's just, like Mason said, I'm sure we both could talk about it. It's just an all-around, complete, amazing experience. It is a game where your personal experience within the game make your story almost more than the actual story of the game itself. And that's what makes it special.
Yep. I mean, and just all the creatures and the, like, are just designed to, like, look so cool and disformed and disgusting. But, like, that's what's so cool about it. And again, like, that game gives you so much control, and I think that's what's so fun about it, is you can look at a situation any way you want with your different perks, your different attributes, your abilities. It's so much fun. I love that game. I'll never say a bad thing about it.
So next on my list is, weirdly enough, a game
What number are we on?
We are on number 5.
Okay.
So a game I personally actually don't enjoy, but...
Oh, wow.
I can say that the tone and the environment that it creates is just so unique, and they hit a nail on the head with it, and it's so influential with the story and the ending that it has to be this high up the list. So number five for me is BioShock.
You don't like BioShock?
I didn't like it. I don't know why. Just didn't like it. I know that's surprising.
Did you not play it? But did you not play it between the hours of 12 and 3?
man, the first part of the game scared the shit out of me.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't know. It just didn't do it. I don't know why. I could never figure it out. I've tried picking it up multiple times. It just never did. But still, I appreciate the fact at how this post-apocalyptic world of an underwater city.
It's not really post-apocalyptic. It's more dystopian.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're right. Dystopian's a better word. But that world that they create, weird is the only way to describe it, yet creepy. It's,
yeah, like, but it is so unique, and just the first 30 minutes of that game are amazing and unforgettable. Just when you first come into Rapture and you know, you have that experience and you're like, oh my god, what is going on? You're walking helpless. Through. Exactly. And you're experiencing everything. The only bad thing I would say about that game is that the combat doesn't really hold up. Like, I love every game in that series, but I think the combat in BioShock 2 is a lot better because you can dual wield and you don't have to constantly, like, every time you want to switch, you don't have to bring up the menu, and it's a lot faster paced. So that's what I like better about the second one, but
that might have been what did it for me. Like, the combat was just clunky.
A little bit. Like, going back on it now, yes, but, like, at the time, it was awesome.
And then not even to mention, Big Daddies are probably the scariest, one of the scariest enemies in video games.
Well, and not because they look scary, but like when they're intimidating,
they're
when
so
you go against
hard.
Them. Yeah.
And then yeah. It's just they're so unique. And then I'm sure you'll talk about it more, but the story and ending, that twist, I'm sure it could be argued is the biggest twist in gaming history.
It's one of them. I mean, would you kindly let me talk about it later?
I would.
Yeah.
So that's now last one for me, number four. Mason, please don't kill me and hang up. Number four for me is The Witcher 3. So, arguably, one of the best RPGs of all
time.
Not
arguably.
You
can say
it is the best. It is the highest one I have on my list. But it is all around a complete game. It is very challenging. I remember when I first picked it up with my friend, when you first fight... wasn't a phoenix, like the bird.
The griffin.
That took me like 3 hours to beat that thing.
3 hours.
It was, I don't know why, I just couldn't figure it out. But but there's so much to do in that game. Mason has played the game probably 5 times as more as I have.
I am on my third playthrough.
Is amazing. The world is enticing. It is complete. It is,
I'm gonna get lost in it.
But I'm gonna stop because I'm sure Mason has way more to say about
I'm going
to
have a pretty deep dive about it. Don't worry.
But yeah, now, Mason, up to you.
So at my number six spot, I could not have a game from Valve on this list, so I decided to have Portal 2. And it barely missed my top five just because I don't think it's as influential as the first one, but I think it is a lot better than the first one, which might sound a little hypocritical of me, but whatever. It might be the best platforming game of all time. The puzzles are so much fun, are so creative, and it's such an intelligent game. The story and the characters. All right, here's what I'm going to say. This might be a hot take. GLaDOS is the best video game character of all time.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, like there is no character like her that has her personality, her sarcasm, her wit, her dry humor. And then there's I think it's Wheatley. He's awesome as well. Some great plot twists in that game as well, in the story. But every level is so much fun and unforgettable. And Valve just knows how to make a damn good game. And feel free to cut out this pause. And it's so just like unique because we don't get – there's not a platforming game like it. Just like the Portal mechanics and just the origins of that – of the Portal franchise is so interesting as well. How it just started as a group of personally selected – I think teenagers, or not teenagers, students to come on as a design team or development team, and how they just kind of cranked out the first one, and then they took their time with the second one, and they made one of the greatest games of all time. And oh, that game is so much fun. That game doesn't stop too. So this, the humor, the characters. I say, literally say this about almost every game, but the characters are interesting. GLaDOS is my day one, my ride or die. I love GLaDOS. She's awesome. So yeah, that's what I have to say about Portal 2. And coming in number five, I have another Valve game, Half-Life 2. When are we getting Half-Life 3? I'll never know. We're probably never getting it, guys. I'm sorry. We're going to get Final Fantasy VII Remake before we get Half-Life 3. The physics in that game alone, I'm just going to start off with that. The physics in that game alone are incredibly influential. They changed gaming, not just the genre. They changed gaming. The gravity gun is one of the most fun things, if not the most fun thing I've ever done in video games. Just run around with that gravity gun and manipulate the world. It changed your mind and what you thought was possible in a video game. And obviously the story in that game, I can't not mention, is one of the greatest ever. I would say between that and BioShock, you have the two best stories in a first-person shooter. In a traditional first-person shooter. Well, I wouldn't even say traditional. Just in a first-person shooter in general. And it has influenced almost every single FPS that has come after it because of the story and the physics. Like, Counter-Strike would not exist if it wasn't for Half-Life 2. And neither would, you know, Garry's Mod, and neither would Team Fortress 2. And almost every other game after would not be the same in terms of, every other first-person shooter would not be the same without Half-Life 2. And so, Gordon Freeman, I miss you. I hope we get Half-Life 2 Episode 3 or Half-Life 3, just probably is what's going to happen. But yeah, like, the cliffhanger in that game is also amazing, but we're probably never going to find out what happens. But yeah, the story, the physics, the gameplay, the fun, Half-Life 2 is second to none. That rhymed unintentionally. And so, number four, in my opinion, the best PlayStation 3 game of all time, The Last of Us. So that game is... Max, was The Last of Us on your list?
It is. You'll see.
Oh, okay. Okay. So The Last of Us is... The plot of that game is very simple, but the characters are so complex. And it might be the best writing of any game ever. Neil Druckmann is awesome, and the development, Bruce Staley, I'm sorry I'm pronouncing your last name wrong, was an awesome game developer. And, like, a lot of people are going to focus on how great that story and how great those characters are, which they are amazing. They are amazing, and I am so connected to those characters in a way that I'm more connected to them than I am to some people in real life. Like, that's ridiculous. Joel and Ellie are awesome. The relationship that you get to build between those two characters is amazing. The way that they juxtapose so many elements between, like, light moments and dark moments, serious moments and funny moments is just – it's awesome. I have never been more stressed out at a game than the ending of that game. There's, like, the whole winter section and then the end of spring. And that game and that it's not – I wouldn't say that's a game. That is an experience. Like, when I was talking about Fallout 3, like, just the gameplay experience and the hours I sunk into that, that is one thing, but the experience you get with The Last of Us is just solely because of the characters and just the mood and just everything about the game is near perfect. And the ending of that game, I know Max was going to talk about it a little bit more. The ending of that game might be one of the most, I don't want to say perfect because I just think that's a lazy word to describe it, as I've used the word perfect like 50 times throughout this podcast. It is such a realistic and understandable ending. And it is something that I didn't expect, but the more and more I play it, the more I love it. And the more I think that it works so well. And at first I was I was very excited when they announced The Last of Us 2, but I thought, I was like, well, but the ending of that is so good of the first one. But then I was like, you know what? I need to experience these characters again because I love these characters. I'm ready to jump back into this world that is tense with all these interesting characters. And again, nobody makes a cinematic experience like Naughty Dog.
I agree. I'm definitely more to talk about when it's on my list, but blown away by it. It's probably one of the games that maybe decide to get a PlayStation console.
Yeah. I mean, like, That game has made me more emotional than some movies have. Like, that game is, for what it is near perfect. And just the way that they decide on what you get to experience and see in cutscenes versus in gameplay is so intelligent. And just, like, I can pick apart that game for, like, just have a conversation about it for 60 minutes, but we've been going pretty long already, so I won't. So, anyways, so Max, give us your 3 and 2, and then I'll give you my 3 and 2, and then we'll do our 1s.
Sounds good. So, number 3, game you just mentioned a few seconds ago, Half-Life 2.
Hey!
Again, something that you didn't mention about Half-Life 2 that I think is very important, in how many genres that game is able to do so well.
That's true. That's
action, true. Shooter,
sci-fi.
Horror, sci-fi, puzzles. It does so many things. It does it at the top of mini games in the field, and it is just a all around fun experience. It's gripping. I remember playing through the original game and the episodes. I would just not set it down because you want to know what happens. And like Mason already said, the influence in terms of physics and game engine that Half-Life 2 brought to the industry is unparalleled. It's an engine that's still being used in games today, that Counter-Strike, Garry's Mod, and other...
Garry's Mod?
Hey, it's... think of another game like Garry's Mod.
I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun fact for you, the Shrek is Love is based off of Garry's Mod.
Yes, it is. But it's just a unique experience. It really makes me sad that it's kind of soured by where they've left the franchise.
I agree.
But this is something we have a whole other conversation about, but really, I think it'll do more damage to it to release another installment than it would to not. Because unless that game is perfect, how is it gonna live it's going to get ripped apart.
Yeah, but I mean, if there is one team that can do it, it's Valve. I trust Valve.
I agree, but I don't think they're going to put their... They have no reason.
I know what you're saying. Like, they have Steam. They have Overwatch. Overwatch is Blizzard, my bad. They have Steam. They're already making so much money. I want them to publish games again, man. And I think they are working on something that's not Oculus or virtual reality, so... Come on, Valve. Don't let me down. I believe in you. You're so talented.
Only time will tell, but we'll see. Yeah.
It's like LeBron James leaving to go into an acting career, and when he was in like the prime of his youth, in the prime of his career. I'm sorry.
Hey, if it means Space Jam 2, I'm kidding. But so number 2 on my list, again, something Mason just recently mentioned, Last of Us. So with that game, especially speaking to the ending, I can probably count on one hand the amount of just media that have given me the experience where you just sit there and you feel empty because you don't know when you're going to have this experience again that you got from this. And that's what I got with The Last of Us, is what that ending did to me and how they portrayed this story was just so, I'm going to use the word perfect, because that's what it was. And it really did touch me emotionally. And I think it's really unique. Spoilers, by the way, but if you haven't played The Last of Us 2,
I was gonna say, like, I think the reason why you can use, like, yes, it is technically, well, I mean, you think it's perfect, but, like, cause I don't know how I can use that word to describe the ending, just more than I would say it's understandable. Like, you can't hate.
It's like, human.
It is so difficult to bring yourself to hate what, unless you just don't understand the character at all. I don't think you can hate what happened, because you've been on that journey with those characters and you've seen the way that they work, and so you understand. And so, like, that is what I think is so unique about that game, is that it gets you to understand those characters in ways that I think that you don't get to in movies or TV or any other media. So, sorry, anyways.
And then for that last mission, other than, I would say, the no Russian, this is the only time in video game where I did not want to be doing what I was doing in the game.
Yeah.
Other than, like, again, what you're saying with the character, like, the character that was the right decision for them and their mindset.
For
what they wanted to get their goals.
Yeah, because, like, I will gladly set aside a Last of Us spoiler talk, but we've been running pretty long already. But there's the option to make the selfish choice, and then there's the what will benefit everyone else choice. And, you know, your character takes the selfish choice, but you understand, you sympathize with them. And I think that's so interesting, like those shades of gray that you don't get in a lot of games. But when you do, and when it's executed this, you know, fantastically, when it's executed as well as it is in The Last of Us, it works fantastic. I just used the word fantastic like 5 times. But anyways, like I said, like the way that they juxtapose the different things, like you get like the most warm-hearted scene in the game with the giraffe scene, and then you go straight to the hospital scene a little bit after that, and you get those two moments juxtaposed with one another. So yeah, that game is a work of art. Like that game should be put in a museum sometime later, because just it is an experience.
There's just one final note on it. I think the multiplayer is extremely underrated. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it when I just at a point I just didn't have people to play with it. But with friends, it was a great multiplayer experience.
Yeah, factions shout out.
So Mason, you're 3-2.
My number 3 game since 2000 is Grand Theft Auto 5, and that game is just, again, Rockstar. No one makes a game like Rockstar. The characters, I like the same beats. Like Rockstar creates characters, creates a story, and creates a world that is fantastic and so much fun to interact with. But I'm going to start off by talking about GTA Online, which is the most fun multiplayer I think I've ever played. Like, just with the bank heists, with the shootouts, with the just screwing around and driving away from the cops with your friends, flying. Like, I remember I was in a Lamborghini, driving in a Lamborghini, and my friend shot a rocket launcher at my back, and it boosted me, it flipped me over, but I flew into a helicopter, ejected from the Lambo, pulled my chute, someone shot holes in my parachute, I fell, and I landed on another car and died. But it was that might be morbid, wow. But no, but like it is, it's so like crazy things happen in that game, and like experiencing it with your friends is one of the most fun things you could possibly do in games, and just the fact that GTA Online is still being added on and still being supported to today is amazing, and it's the best Grand Theft Auto game. I was going back and forth between this one and 3, but Grand Theft Auto 5 is in the top, in my opinion, it is a top 5 game ever made. Not just a 2000, but ever in the history of gaming. Like, that game is so sustainable. You can put all the hours in. The characters, or the voice acting, the story is so much fun. The level design, etc. You name it, that thing is just top quality. I can say nothing bad about that game. Rockstar, this is probably Rockstar's best game ever, and that is saying a ton. Would you agree, Max?
Yeah, so I enjoyed GTA 5. It came out during our freshman year of college, so
yep.
I played it some, but unfortunately just with my course load and stuff, I didn't get to play it as much as I wanted to. And personally, my experience with the online was a little more on the frustrating side. I would just spawn in and get killed 50 times over by somebody in a tank.
I'll say this, it has gotten a lot better since, and that might be kind of unfair to put it this high, because that wasn't how it launched, but I do think that it is just, there's been so much stuff added on to it that it is just God. It is godlike. So yeah, that's my number 3 spot. Coming in at numero dos, Max, the game that Max personally does not enjoy apparently is BioShock. It is the best first person shooter story game since Half-Life. It's probably a little bit better in terms of story wise. Half-Life. The atmosphere in that game is unforgettable. You got the dystopian, awesome location of Rapture, and that game is a testament to what, like, what video games can do. And it'll you can probably beat it in about 2 or 3 sittings, so it's not super long, but it's so addicting. Like, the first time you play it, the combat is so much fun. You switch back between your cool plasmid powers and the guns that all look and feel fantastic. I replayed the remastered edition, and it looks even better. The lighting is awesome. And just, like, Ken Levine is one of the greatest creative directors ever. And I want to just have a conversation with him just to pick his brain. And just how did you come up with this idea, man? And so just to give, for those that don't know, it takes place in this underwater city called Rapture. And it is a place where they've kind of thrown off the shackles of morality and really, they're scientists let loose. And, you know, a lot of people kind of gave in to their cardinal sins. And it just, you get to see a world that suffered, that peaked because of that, but then it declined. And there are so many themes about just ego and id in that game, what a man is. And, of course, Andrew Ryan, one of my favorite video game characters of all time. A man chooses, a slave obeys speech is one of the best in games. The plot twist, would you kindly play this game, is awesome. Like, it redefined what a first-person shooter could be, just like Half-Life 2 did. But I have it a little bit higher on the list just because of the plot twist and just the atmosphere that Half-Life 2 didn't really have. Yes, it was able to do all those genres, but just like the environment of Rapture is so unforgettable, and I would love to go back and play in another game. So yeah, that is my number two. Max, would you kindly let me know about your number one?
So yeah, for our number one, let's do this. Let's say it. Person talks about it for 2 minutes. Person responds. Have a little bit of debate, but then let's let the audience decide. So after we finish the podcast, please respond with, if you agree with us, disagree with us, and make sure to maybe throw in a game you think should have been in our top 15. Yep. So for me, was a game
coming in at number one for Max.
Was a game Mason put at number six, but for me, number one is Portal 2. So it was, I had a really hard time deciding number one, and for some reason, this just kept popping into my head, because I can't think of anything wrong with the game. The puzzle mechanics are unparalleled. It's polished to a T. The co-op is fantastic. And I think the most important aspect of the game is it's how wide of an audience it caters to. This is a game you can pick up with anyone and have a good time with it. Your parent, your brother, your friend, somebody you just met. I think that Portal is what a video game should be. It brings people together. With different games on this list, you wouldn't play The Last of Us or The Witcher 3 with your mom, but I think you could play that Portal 2 with them and have a fantastic time. And at its core, that's what gaming is bringing people together. And I think Portal 2 does a fantastic job of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I already said a lot of good things about Portal 2. Again, just the mechanics are awesome. The game is so smart, and it respects you. It respects you and your decision-making, but it also challenges you in ways, and it makes you think, makes you adapt, makes you use all the new things, makes you use your environment. And that's just all a testament to Valve and their level design crew. Like, they are the real MVP. So, yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you that Portal 2 shouldn't be number one. I can't say anything bad about the game. But it is not my number one, Max.
I think I already know what your number one is based on you.
My number one game of the 2000, since 2000, is, drumroll please, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Wow, shocking.
I know, right? So, funny story. I was unsure about this game. I actually didn't buy it at launch. I waited about a year. So it came out in May of 2015, and I did not pick it up until last summer. And Max was actually the one that convinced me to buy this game. So I was like, hey, Max, I'm really unsure about The Witcher 3. I feel like I would enjoy it. It looks like it's right up my alley, but I'm not unsure. And Max, I think you responded with, dude, this game is incredibly fun. You should definitely check it out. So like, okay, I bought
You're
it.
Welcome. You're sorry.
Yeah, or yeah, you cost me about 2 months of my life. That game can either last you 25 hours or 250 hours. That game lasted me an entire summer, and I just grinded through that. And like, it was an experience that I've never experienced before. And it all kind of starts with the world. And so these games are the Witcher series. They're based off of a series of books by a Polish author. The books are also awesome. Check them out. and it's such a deep lore dive, and it's something that I haven't really experienced since the first time I watched, like, Harry Potter, or the first time I watched Lord of the Rings, some of my favorite movies of all time, even Star Wars for that matter, just getting sucked into that universe. And the gameplay is so diverse and so much fun, and there's so many memorable characters. You get Geralt, who is, I can officially say, is my favorite video game character of all time. And I've only played The Witcher 3, and, like, that's what's so, like, I'm sorry, at the time I only played The Witcher 3, and he was my favorite character. Because there are so many layers to all these different characters, and you don't know who to trust, who's going to, you know, be there for you, and you can make so many different decisions that affect other characters in the game. And a lot of the decisions you make, you know, affected me emotionally. Like, the whole thing with Triss and Yennefer, knowing the background of, like, who to choose, that was one of the tough decisions I've ever had to make. And I, you know, that might make me sound super lame because, you know, it's essentially virtual dating, but, like, dang, man. Like, that was a super tough decision and always weighs on me heavily whenever I have to make that when I go back and play through it.
Hashtag Team Triss.
Okay. I'll give you my takes on that after the pod. But it just, the characters are so interesting. And I was so sucked into that world that I haven't been since something as awesome as Star Wars has done. And, like, that game is so much fun. The mechanics are awesome. The fighting is visceral, it's violent, but it works because of the environment. Like, you understand why everything is so the way it is. And, like, the main quest is, it kind of starts out as like a small scale story, but it slowly builds to a grand epic, just like the Lord of the Rings. And, like, that's, I think it reminds me so much of the Lord of the Rings, and that's why I love it so much. But also, this game can last so long in a very similar way that Fallout 3 can, which is one of my favorite games ever. But I feel like the characters are better in this game. The voice acting is amazing in this game. This game also, it looks beautiful. There is wind in this game. Like, that might sound weird, but, like, you hear and see the wind in the trees rustling. And so I've said this before, I know, but I recently upgraded to a new TV recently, and I got a soundbar, and it's a totally new experience. Like, it was great before, but now it is totally different. It is a step above. It is cinematic almost, in a different way that kind of Naughty Dog games are. But it looks gorgeous. You can do so many things. There are so many hours you can pour into this game if you want to. There are so many interesting side quests. Like, one of my favorite quests ever in any game is the Bloody Baron side quest, where you help a man who has so many issues find his daughter and his wife. And there are so many also emotional connections you make to all the characters in this game. Like, this game is a masterpiece. I'm going to stop myself right there. That's the last thing I'm going to say. It is a masterpiece. Also, it has one of the best DLCs ever in Blood and Wine. And, okay, sorry, that's not the last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to say one more thing. Also, the DLCs are both amazing. And you get to peel back the character of Geralt, who is the main character, who is stripped of emotion. And you get to learn more about him and the way that he interacts and how being underappreciated, being stripped of emotion, how it has taken a toll on him and how he interacts with people. And it's so interesting. Like, yes, at the heart of it, it is just a video game that you play for entertainment purposes. But it is an experience unlike anything I've ever experienced. So yeah, Witcher 3, you are the best game, in my opinion, to come out since 2000. And you are the best game of all time that does not have the word Ocarina of Time in your title.
Wow. Hot take with Mason.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so everybody, thank you for listening. That was Mason and I's top 15. Thank you for sticking around with us. We know this is a little bit of a longer pod, but we do think it was worth it. Mason, anything else you want to add before we get on out?
I will say this. My regret, it should probably be on this list. So I didn't have World of Warcraft on my list, and neither did you, and we talked about how we think it should be kind of just disqualified because the game has totally changed. It's, like, barely recognizable from what it was, but it is such an important part of pop culture, so I had to give a shout-out to WoW.
Leroy Jenkins, baby.
Leroy Jenkins! But yeah, so shout-out to World of Warcraft, shout-out Blizzard. But yeah, you know, we'll be back to talking about sports on Monday, so... thank you guys for listening.
Yep. So thank you guys for listening to this edition of the Pressing Coverage Podcast. If you liked what you heard here, make sure to go follow us on Facebook at Pressing Coverage, also on Twitter and Instagram at Pressing Cover, and finally, make sure to go check out the main site for more of our content. Thank you, guys, and have a nice day.
Peace!